Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 121, and today is Tuesday, April 23rd. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so today I'm going to be talking about App Store rejection, and this is sort of the topic of my kind of on the front of my mind because the first version of first submission of Feeder Angler to the store was rejected, and that's totally unexpected, and I'll get into that later. But certainly, always just sort of it's an interesting part of the app you know process, being in the App Store, doing app review. And so I figured that would be an interesting thing to kind of walk through what that's like and how I look at it, the experience I've had, and so on. So broadly, I'm going to take a step back and make sure everyone kind of knows what I'm talking about. So if you're going to make an app and put it in either the iOS or Mac App Store, this applies to a couple of other different stores, notably not the Google Play Store, but most stores seem to have some kind of review process. But I'm going to talk about the iTunes and App Store process. And so basically, you submit your application, and it sits around for a little while. And in Apple's case, it says waiting for review is the app status that it will have. And it sits there for a little while. It's in review, and then at some point, it changes from waiting for review to in review. And exactly what that means is entirely ambiguous, other than the fact that you imagine that somehow more things are happening. But in review can take any amount of time. I've had it take minutes. I've had it take hours. I've had it take days. And so while it's in that process, the people at Apple are going through the application and doing some thing to it. That process is somewhat opaque in terms of you don't know exactly what's going on. But generally speaking, you expect that they're looking for things like does it crash? Does it do something that's not allowed? Is it implemented in a way that is consistent with the human interface guidelines? Those types of questions. And they're kind of reviewing your application to make sure it's something that they want to put on the store. And if they do, you'll get an email or an update saying, ready for sale or something like that, or processing for App Store, your app is approved, great. And then that process begins, it goes into the store, or if it's an update, it gets pushed out through the update system. However, if something is not good, then you'll instead of getting an email that's saying, ready for sale or processing for App Store, you'll get something that says application submission feedback, which is their kind of very passive, soft, gentle way of saying your app was rejected. You don't actually get anything that says rejection until you go into iTunes Connect. You just get the application feedback submission or submission feedback, and it's not something to be sort of ashamed of or feel too bad about if you get. I've been doing this a while, and I've probably dealt with I guess 30 or 40 rejections over the course of all the apps I've submitted and all the different places and all the different problems. So it's just part of the process. And you can be rejected for all kinds of things. The most obvious and simple ones are things like if your app crashes ever during the review process, it's an automatic rejection, for example. It's one of those things that there's not really – you'll get a crash log and they'll send it to you. But basically, if those types of things are just immediate. Then there's a sort of the second category of things where our apps can be rejected because they for a variety of reasons that for which they would violate the app review guidelines. And so these can be things like content things. They include content that's objectionable or they're not ranked. They're not rated accordingly because of their content. It's doing something that they don't allow or don't want to allow. There's all kinds of things that you can kind of do, or it could be not useful enough. Is often a complicated one. I know of a lot of friends who have written an app with a very narrow focus purpose, and they can be rejected for saying it's not useful enough. It's just complicated to define. But generally speaking, they'll go through the review guidelines and say this is whenever you get a rejection, you'll get a reason why. That reason may not be something that you agree with. It may not be something that you like, but it'll be a reason that you can kind of start from. And something that, to Apple's credit, what they used to do is that would be all you'd get, and you could kind of all you could really do was resubmit and make any changes, add something in the review commentary. But basically, that was it. And what they've done now, which is a little bit better, is they've added something called the Resolution Center. So when an app is rejected, or an in-app purchase is rejected, or anything like that, you will get a – rather than just getting a message with saying generally what it is, you'll get a slightly longer form thing in what's called the Resolution Center. And this is kind of like a chat or a forum, not real time, but it's a way to have a back and forth conversation with App Review. And so this, like for example, with Feed Wrangler, and this I was rejected twice, essentially, in the same submission. The first one was what they called a metadata rejection. And a metadata rejection is where the app isn't rejected outright, but there's something about it that they are not really sure about, or there's something in your description or your icons or something that isn't they want changed, or they have questions about, and they can ask you questions. And sometimes it's just – in my case, they had a question about how something worked or how I expected something to work, and they wanted to have clarification. So you go in and I write a response and send them something. And then you kind of have a little back and forth. And it's very helpful to think of this process as all the communications that you have in the resolution center, you want to be as nice as you can in that sense. I've experienced myself sort of when you can get frustrated, it can feel like you're kind of talking to something a bit that's so opaque or intractable, like what do? And you get really frustrated. But this isn't the kind of thing that you want to get too – you want to keep your cool. You handle yourself in a way that is responsible and kind and just appropriate for who you're interacting with. Obviously, it's not like the automation, you're talking to a person probably in Cupertino or somewhere. And so you want to be kind. You want to be nice. You want to be reasonable about if they're asking a question, you want to answer it. And it's like, don't be like, even if it's something you think is obvious or something that's clear, it's like be patient and understanding and kind of work through and create screenshots. It lets you attach make attachments to your posts to the resolution center. So great. Like if they have a question about how to do something, it's like take the time to take a series of screenshots, map them out. I use Napkin for this, which is Agent Distilled, Guy English, and Chris Farish's app, which are for doing that kind of an image annotation. And it works great for that. You kind of lay it out. And your goal is to, get them on your side. And rather than being sort of argumentative or confrontational. Your goal is to be like, hey, I'm sorry you had that problem. I'm sorry you had that question. Let me see, let me try and kind of flesh out what I was thinking about that or why that's a problem. This isn't the time to, be sending them a Google search result explaining something to them. It's something you want to take the advantage opportunity. It's a rare thing that you have an opportunity to talk to AppReview. So you want to take full advantage of that to talk to them. And basically, in my case, they had a question, I responded, and ultimately the app was rejected. It was rejected for something that I expected, but I kind of knew might be happening. And it was the in-app purchase type that I had chosen. I had chosen an auto-renewing one, which is something that, in theory, you can use for something like what I was doing with an ongoing subscription cloud service. But in this particular case, they said it wasn't eligible, and I'm not exactly sure what it's just like one of those things that are slightly ambiguous guidelines. I'm like, all right, that's fine. If they don't want to do it that way, I'll do a non-recurring subscription model, change up my in-app purchase, change up my purchasing system a little bit, and resubmit it. And that's where I am now. It's back in waiting for review, I think. And that's kind of the process you go through. I'm not going to get too – it's one of those things that after it's rejected, you can certainly start kind of – attacking it still in terms of going to the resolution center and be like, hey, I think it should be allowed to do this. I think for this and that reason, I need to be able to do this or whatever it is. And that there's probably something to that. If that's a crux of, really important to your business or absolutely vital, that you really think you should be able to do something and you can't, maybe it's worth pursuing. But in general, I think if you've listened to the show for a while, you know that I'm a fairly pragmatic person. And instead I'm just like, okay, well, that didn't work. I'm doing some things with subscriptions that I think are intentionally to make this easier. For example, all of my subscriptions are yearly, my subscription is based on a yearly model. And so that in general, I don't have to worry too much about a lot of this back and forth that can happen. If I had set up, it's a monthly or a weekly or something like that type of a subscription, it would be really annoying if I couldn't use a non-recurring style. So instead I was like, I'm just going to adjust my pricing. I'm going to simplify things a little bit for myself and for my customers. It's just one flat yearly price. And so, I don't even have to really worry about dealing with the way in which I reach out to customers for that renewal, for 365 days after the app launches. The app is set up to work that way already, but I can really polish and refine and work on the messaging and exactly how I reach out to people later. So it's like, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to get into a big fuss about it. There may come a point down the road where I revisit this. And one approach that I have definitely done before myself is, when I'm trying to launch something, I just want to get it out there. And so I'll put this, do exactly what Apple says for version 1.0. And for version 1.1 or whatever it is, like a little bit farther down, I can submit something that's a bit closer to the thing that was rejected before. and to see if that gets rejected, then I can maybe go have a bit more of a back and forth in the resolution center and really talk to them and explore it and see how far I can go with that. But I'm doing it at a time when that's not holding up my launch. It's not holding up my customers. It's just kind of something that I'm doing. And that's probably something more generally that you can do is you can go through a process of what they, I would call a test submission process. This is something where, you know, it's like I think actually Panic did this for Status Board, which makes a lot of sense because some of what they do is very close to the edge of an app review guideline about multi-widget alternative desktop stuff. But so what they did is I think they took a proof of concept, something that was working and obviously it like met the general review guidelines, and they submitted that early so that if Apple was going to come back and say, no, you can't do that at all, they could have explored that as early as you can. And it's just something you want to take advantage of. I mean, understanding that it's not like it's – for better or worse, the app review process does not have limits on it in terms of number of submissions, number of reviews, those types of things. And obviously you don't want to go nuts with that, you know, constantly be submitting like, you know, half-baked ideas. But which if it's a valuable thing to understand that app review is a very, very – high risk, I guess you could call it, activity in making an app in that it is a very binary thing. If your app is rejected, it is rejected. That's it. It's not good. And especially on iOS, there's not an alternative, a good alternative for that. You could say, oh, I can put it on like the jailbreak stores or things. But the reality is you want to be on the App Store if you're trying to make your living from selling apps. And so it's very, very important that you, you know, respect this process and understand it and make sure that you are planning for it. And by that I mean, so like I'm hoping right now to launch Feed Wrangler next Tuesday. So in 7 days, so Tuesday, April 30th. That's my goal right now. But obviously the Feed Wrangler app is currently, you know, still waiting for review for the second round. And so it's entirely possible that could change. And so you just have to be careful and kind of plan for that and expect that it's very unlikely, even if you look at like, you know, the iOS review times recently, I think are about 7 or 8 days. And so you can't really plan on a 7 or 8 day from when you submit to when you launch, probably. Typically what I do is I take that number and I double it, and that's what I plan for. And that's generally what I'm doing with this one. I kind of was expecting, I was hoping to launch today, but it didn't quite work out. And so I'm going to be launching hopefully next Tuesday. And so that's kind of the process you go through. And then, you know, hopefully it'll just be approved. A couple of things also, just like random notes about app rejections and things. Things that are never helpful, really, or useful to when you're dealing with someone with app review and something gets rejected. Saying, but this other app also does this. Not helpful. They'll either say, well, we should have rejected that too. It's not helpful to say, you know, oh, but it's like, but here's someone else who does it. It's like, they'll say, well, that's, you know, that like that probably should have been rejected too then. I'm sorry. Like, that's all there is. I said, don't be argumentative. Don't get upset about it. Every now and then you'll actually get a call from Cupertino. So if you get a call from them, obviously you're going to want to answer it and you're going to want to talk to it. And I think it was 418, I think, is the area code for App Review. Or for, not for App Review, but for Apple. And so if you ever get a call from 418, let me just double check that. 408. If you ever get a call from a 408 number that you don't recognize, that is probably someone from Cupertino calling to talk to you about your app. And so answer the phone, talk to it, don't let it go to voicemail kind of thing. And again, in that conversation, it can be very frustrating because often you'll be talking to somebody and they're not able to say as much as you would like. You can't be – typically what they're able to say is, here's the line in the app review guidelines that you're violating it. And you can start getting like, well, what if I did this? What if I did that? And he's like, typically they're unable to say, well, I don't, it's like, give you a clear answer. They'll say, this is the policy and this is what you are doing that's against that policy. And you'd be like, well, what if I did this? It's like, well, you'd have to resubmit the app and we take a look at it. And so just be patient, be understanding, and realize that they're doing their job, you're doing yours. And the best thing for everybody is for you to be, you know, kind, respectful, and just, you know, roll with it. So that's app rejection. Hopefully it's helpful. Like I said, I've gone through this so many times that I'm not as – I don't get upset about it or as disappointed as I used to be. It's kind of expected in some ways that App Review has caught a lot of bugs and problems in my apps, which I appreciate. It's also caused some frustration or problems for me. But, you know, it's just part of the process. You just need to understand it, plan for it, and expect that this is something that could happen. All right, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, or complaints, I'm on Twitter at @_DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet at @DavidSmith. And actually, I have one of those bulk app.net invite linky things, which I'll have in the show notes. So if you haven't signed up for app.net, but you want an invite, that's a way to get it. And otherwise, hope you have a good week. Happy coding. And I'm sure we'll all be going a little bit crazy in the next few days waiting for WWDC tickets to go on sale. My current guess is probably tomorrow, Wednesday morning, but we'll see. All right, bye.